Yeah.
Perhaps the silliest song that Todd Rundgren has ever written. It's a great song. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, seventh floor of the Trib Tower here till 5. Steve Grzanich, opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran. Birthday boy, Steve Cochran. Today, he's 39. it's 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. And Lou requested some Todd Rundgren. That's Bang on the Drum All Day. Yeah, so that means we get to hear another song by Todd. I like that. Hey, everybody, Nick DiGilio. Hi, 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And get your 2 for Tuesday requests in. Yeah, get those in. And a little bit later on, Esmeralda and I are going to go head-to-head again in another battle of celebrity name game. You ready, Esmeralda?
Always.
Always, man. It's really funny, you know, Esmeralda and Dan and Vic and I sometimes communicate via intercom. So a voice will pop up on a speaker, like somebody will say, hey. And I hear Esmeralda during the break say, hey, did you watch At Midnight last night? And I said, yeah. And she says, what's butt science? See, these are the kind of conversations that we have during the course of this incredibly intellectual show.
It's trending on Twitter.
It is, yeah. I mean, every night the hashtag wars on At Midnight trend.
Yeah, and then it said At Midnight, so I was like, ah, Nick will know.
That's right. And butt science was the hashtag war for last night, where you have to take a scientific quote and make a butt joke, put a butt joke, combine it with a butt joke. Like, for instance, John Cleese's daughter was on the show last night. And she, by the way, is as tall as John Cleese. She's like 6 feet tall. She's seriously, like, massively tall.
She's not like a lady John Cleese, is she?
No. She's beautiful. Not that John Cleese isn't handsome, but she really is. She's like model beautiful. Her name is Camilla Cleese. And one of her butt science entries, Esmeralda, was the big butt theory. So you got to take something and make it, you know. I told you my favorite. But I can't say it. I don't think I can say it on the air. I could kind of say it on the air.
Make it clean.
I can't really. I can't.
The butt is involved.
But it's a different, I can't do it. I think I can, but I'm not going to risk it.
But it wouldn't make sense.
No, it wouldn't. It's not, if I cleaned it up, it wouldn't be nearly as funny as what the joke is.
Well, give us the clean joke and we'll, you know, fill in the blanks.
All right, it's Bill Nye butt guy, but it's a different word.
What? No, I'm kidding.
Can you figure it out without me actually saying the word?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was one of my favorites that they did. So, hashtag wars is fun. I was telling Esmeralda, I threw one out there last week. I didn't do a butt science one. I guess I wasn't inspired. Because normally I'm laying on the couch watching it now, and I usually tweet out one or two of them. Last week they did monster songs in honor of King Kong. And Kong Skull Island, and it was the, At Midnight is only on Monday through Thursday at night, Monday through Thursday. So this was like right before, you know, going to work on Friday morning, and I like that. I like that At Midnight is set up like that because it's set up for me. Like I can watch it, and like that's my Friday show. You know, it's like right before I go to work, it's a Friday, I get to watch the last At Midnight of the week, and that makes me happy. Anyway, this was Monster Songs, where you have to take a song and, like, make a monster reference. And these are all they are, like, all of these hashtag words, they're just bad puns, you know? They're bad puns, and the dirtier, the better. But mine was, for monster songs, what if Godzilla was one of us?
I like that one. Forget what the other one you had was that I didn't understand.
Say Hello to My Little Frankenstein, where you Florida a book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done a bunch of them though, which I can't remember what are some of the other ones that I've done. I can't remember. Video game an artist or video game a band. So video game a band where you have to like combine like a band. And I did Lady Gaga.
Oh, good one.
that's good.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So anyway,
I used to go to the double door and play Galaga in the basement all the time when I lived across the street.
You lived across the street from the double door?
Yeah.
Did
back,
you get
back
any
in the
sleep?
90s when Wicker Park was cool.
Oh, my God. Did you get any sleep at all?
Not much, because my brother and I roomed there across the street in the Flatiron Building, and we knew.
You were in the.
We became really good friends with the door lady, and we should get him for free. We'd just look out our window at the marquee and be like, yeah, we're going tonight. Like,
you live, that's pretty, that must have been cool to live in the Flatiron Building. That's one of my favorite buildings in the city.
It was amazing.
That's,
you know, because there's 50 units, but 40 of them are artist studios.
Right.
The other 10 have been converted to apartments. But you have to be an artist to get in, and my brother was a photographer for Chicago Magazine for years. So, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
A lot of fun.
How long did you live in the Flatiron Building?
3 years.
God, that's all. And in the 90s, too. Boy, that must
have
been fun.
Look at how cool Vic is.
Well, I used to be kind of cool.
Yeah, man, that's awesome.
Were you wearing flannel and boots and stuff?
There's pictures, Esmeralda.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, that was the time to wear your docks and your flannels.
Right.
I was doing it.
And no one thought you were dumb.
Nope.
What?
Well, because once I was wearing it, it's like I'm a kid.
Right.
And I'm wearing flannel.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
You're wearing flannel right now, Esmeralda.
Yeah, but this is more like lumberjack flannel.
It's still flannel.
It's not really grunge flannel.
You know, I went to the Randolph Street Market over the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, they have
Was Lady Gaga there?
Lady Gaga? Galaga? No.
Lady Galaga?
She may have been, actually. But on the stage, there was a studio of someone that was selling stuff. You know, it's like an antique show, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There was a rack of like 200. I think they took everyone that lived in Wicker Park from the 90s flannel shirts and put them in this. There was like 200 flannel shirts for sale.
Wow.
No, it's come back.
It's back now.
It's come back around where I see kids walking around exact replicas of what you thought, 1993.
I had the hair. I would wrap a flannel around my waist and tie the thing around my waist. I wore shorts with boots. I did. That was the whole. I was way. I mean, forget it.
You know, a reference to you, Nick. The now it's escaping my mind. What was the movie that was
Singles?
No, about records. About records.
Oh, High Fidelity.
High Fidelity. Yeah. I lived there when they were filming that in that neighborhood.
Oh,
that era.
Okay. So late 90s then.
Mm-hmm.
Were you like, get out of here?
No, not so
posers.
Much for that movie, no. But no. I'll tell you, when the real world came to Chicago, it was right across the other side of the street.
Yeah.
And that was a big...
My ex-wife, Heather, when we first started dating, she lived in Wicker Park. She lived like near just east of Western off of North Avenue.
Okay.
Okay, so it was walking distance from the big, area there, Wicker Park, she would lead, like, if they saw like the cameras around, they would run up to the camera and jump in front of it and scream and swear.
There's a lot of that.
And tell them to get out. And they hated it.
You know, a funny factoid about the real world. Somebody put up flyers, come out and protest. So a big crowd formed right out there and protested. They used that footage in their, what do you call it, when the show is just starting and they use all that
intro?
Yeah. The intro?
They used that and to the music and made it look like everybody was cheering outside.
Of course. That's reality TV, man.
Yep.
That's why there are quotes around the word reality. It's funny, the most interesting aspect of that season, and I still watched it then. I stopped watching, because I watched The Real World religiously.
Vegas, right?
Vegas is the last season I saw.
Yep, me too.
And I went back to try and watch it when they came back to Chicago.
Yeah.
Couldn't get through it.
No.
Can't watch it.
No.
No, the Vegas was the one. That was it. I was like, Trishelle, I'm done. I can't watch this crap anymore. But that season in Chicago, the first time they were in Chicago, 9/11 happened. I don't know if you guys remember that or not.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah.
And that was the first time they ever allowed the Real World castmates to use the internet or watch a television.
That's right.
They brought a TV into the apartment to see what was happening. That's the first time they ever did that, because you're cut off from the outside world. You can't use the internet, and there's no TVs, none of that stuff. You just, when you go out, obviously you can probably see a TV if you go to a bar or something, but you can't have it in the house.
That was when I was living there, because I had to walk to the Flatiron Building from downtown because the train
stopped.
Running. Yes.
Yeah. So that was an interesting episode of that show, reality TV. It's so real. I posted this on my Facebook page yesterday morning when I got home from work. I watched Feud, the Bette Davis, Joan Crawford thing with Susan Sarandon and Jessica Lange, and I'm loving it. It's so campy. And so by the way, Dan Feinberg's going to be on Thursday. We're going to talk about TV and we'll definitely be talking about Feud. So I watched Feud, which I loved. And then I, of course, it's on my DVR. I have no idea. I watched Bar Rescue. And it's just, it is a ridiculous show, and I'm a moron because I watch it every week. Every week.
You and Dan Long.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things ever. Dan was out one night last week, and so Dan Long was producing, and we were talking about the Academy Awards. And I said, "Where did you watch the Oscars?" He goes, "I didn't. I was watching Bar Rescue." So he's got his priorities straight. He didn't watch the Academy Awards because John Taffer was on yelling at people and throwing glasses across a bar. Oh, man. I watch it every week. I've had Taffer on the show 3 times. Dan, I don't think we need to book him anymore. I've had him on the show 3 times. He's ridiculous.
Oh, the guy from Bar Rescue's been on the Nick D show?
3 times.
Has he really?
Yeah. When the show first started, you know, like, because in the first season, there were 2 bars that were located in Chicago that got rescued. So we had him on 2 separate occasions that season to talk about those specific episodes. One was the Blue Frog, which is right down the street from where we are. It's now called the local Blue Frog. And the other was the Irish. Why am I blanking on the Irish place?
The Abbey.
Oh, the Abbey. Yeah, the Abbey Pub. They rescued the Abbey Pub. So we had him on to talk about that. And then we had him on one other time, too, I think a couple seasons later. And then I was like, this guy's ridiculous. I can't. And last night's episode, or the Sunday night's episode, which I watched yesterday morning, was one of those back to the bar episodes where they revisit one of the bars that they rescued. And see all the changes. Like, we got rid of your entire menu, man. You know, the Taffer screams at him. It was like, and he changed the ladies were all dressed in very, you know, when they showed up before the bar was fixed or rescued, all the girls had their boobs pushed up wearing very, very low-cut tops, and he found that offensive. So he made them wear really tight red shirts, which were also low-cut. And one bartender says, "We hate the uniforms, they suck, because we all look like a bunch of tomatoes." That's one of the quotes. Then Taffer started screaming at him. All right, what are we talking about? How'd we get onto this?
I don't know.
Oh, because we were talking about the double door and Vic living in the Flatiron Building, which led us to...
Play the little womp-womp-womp thing, my fault.
No, it was fun. I had a good time. That was a very entertaining radio for my money, I think. All right, we're going to break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the most memorable wives on television and sitcoms. And this is all because of the late, great, the beautiful, the enormously talented Suzanne Pleshette.